something like that. Welcome, everybody. The message that I'm bringing today actually started with a message from Gwen probably about a month ago, was it, Gwen? Gwen came up and gave us a testimony, and she had a word from God, and it was just as simple as, I am greater than, which I think is really awesome. But I'd like to start this morning with a prayer, if that's okay. So, Father God, I thank you for bringing us all here today, that every single person that is in this place today has been called here by your name and by their name, that you care for every single one of the people in this place, that you're going to do amazing things through the baptisms, that people will come out of the waters completely different, Father. I pray that you'll bless this message, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll just take over. That's a bit dangerous, eh? Thank you, Holy Spirit. And the church said, amen. Just like to point out, you all just said amen, so whatever God lets fire here, let him be. So this message, I said to Rod, oh, it might be one of those ones that Pastor Robbins calls a washing machine message. Bit of a clean-up. And you know what he said to me? You better front load it. He didn't even know it was a joke. And so what he was saying was, I should let you people know up front that it might be a bit of a washing machine message. He didn't even know he was joking. Tries to be funny, and then, anyway. So I thought this word here, I am greater than, was amazing, and I love the way that he was put a full stop at the end of it. There's no but, there's no room, we don't need to question any of it. God talks about who he is throughout the Bible, and every part of it says that he's greater than, and he's signed off by God. There's nothing that God isn't in greatness. He's only love. If there's a misconception of who God is, I recommend you go into the Bible, do a Google search and say, who does God say he is? And he will tell you exactly who it is. And it's all goodness and it's all light. And it's interesting. I brought this message together and I thought, I really don't know how to start this message off. I really don't. And then the band got up and sung, and everything they sung about is exactly what my message is about. I particularly like the new wine because I've had a really poo week, which always happens just before I preach, the week before. It was a bit of a poo week, and a lot of grumpy stuff came out, and I may have said poo in a different dialect once or twice, and there may have been some other colourful words that you don't find in here. That's really hard, as you know, for a Christian person, because that's not what you want to be, and it's not what you want to do. So I'm really glad we sung new wine, because otherwise I would have been bringing some pretty sour wine here today, and instead I'm bringing some new wine fresh from God, so praise him for that. Thank you, Lord. So it's a pretty uncomfortable time for people at the moment. There's a lot of fear out there, not just for the people of the world, but for Christians as well. There seems to be a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, plenty of outrage, lots of anger. And fear is a real driver for responses. It's the one emotion that actually drives lots of others. So fear can either drive you to a response of something that's good. For example, if you're walking across the street and there's a bus coming and you jump out the way, the fear is going to get you out the way. That's a good thing. But it can also drive you to some really bad choices, and it may even be unconscious. Like, you might be going to get caught out on something and there's going to be consequences, so you tell a lie. It might just be a little one, but you know what, the consequence of that lie might actually be worse than just saying, oh yeah, it was me. You know, there's consequences for fear driven anger and fear driven responses and reactions to things. Some of the responses, I say, are quite good. Rod and I were sitting on the couch watching TV a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know what I was doing, spaced out, probably just watching something inane on the TV, and he went to put his hand on my shoulder, and my immediate reaction, although I'm right-handed, was to bring my right fist up. And his immediate response to that fear was this. So there are good reactions to fear, good responses, and ones that keep us safe. I remember, we have a good laugh about this story in our house. A couple of years ago, when Josiah was probably about 5 years old, you know, in the dead of night, it's quiet, it's dark, and I just felt this presence in the room. And I just felt this person looking over me. This is not a biblical story. This is not the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was my son, 5-year-old, just standing over the bed looking at me, as they do. And I opened my eyes and I went, oh! And he went, yeah! And just Rod woke up and went, oh, and we were all just screaming at different times. been getting grumpy. Why did you wake me up? But instead we just fell into fits of laughter. We laughed through the small dark hours about that, and we still laugh about it now. So you can turn your fear response into something else as well. It doesn't have to be into anger. I'm just going to throw up there 2 Timothy 1:7. Just see what God has to say about fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. This isn't any old spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. And we know what he produces in us, and it's all good stuff, right? Yeah? We're in agreement? I don't see up there, and if I put up all the fruits of the Spirit, you won't see up there anger. You won't see up there outrage at what somebody Twitterfied you or face ached you or anything like that. You won't see any of that because he's not interested in that stuff. The fruits of the Spirit are all goodness and kindness and love and joy. The self-control. Oh, that's the one I struggle with. And patience. Meh. That'll come. Probably be one of those life lessons that I get to at the end of my days and go, oh, that's patience, right. So that's what he has to say about it. And what really drove me to this message was about 5 weeks ago. So about 6 weeks ago, we had a horrific time here in New Zealand. We had the most horrendous thing happen in our country, and that 51 people got killed down in Christchurch in just the most horrendous day. It was horrific. And the New Zealand response was quite remarkable. Predominantly, and I'll say predominantly because it wasn't 100%, it was of love and it was of kindness and it was of communities coming around to look after not just those who were affected, but those who were affected outside of the city even. It was a time when faith-based religion wasn't at the forefront. It was about loving on people. It was about not caring whether somebody wore a head scarf or not. It was just about loving on people who needed loving. And that lasted for a week. And then on the following Friday, there was a Muslim prayer at Parliament, and what I saw was gnashing of teeth and anger, and I saw people getting really wild about it. They were Christian people, predominantly, and they may say it was righteous anger. And we saw Jesus with righteous anger. Jesus marched into the temple in Jerusalem, and he threw out all the people trying to make money out of the poor. He threw out all those people who were, you know, turning his father's house into a den of iniquity, basically, so that the people who needed God, the people who needed to be healed, could come in. That was righteous anger. He was not allowing his father's house to be treated in a poor way. But what I saw was anger from fear. People were frightened of that Muslim prayer being heard, like I said, washing machine. Sorry, folks, washing machine. Yeah? I found it was a really fearful response. I'm just going to throw up there James 1:20. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires, just in case you thought I was just talking through a hole in my head. Ephesians 4:26-27. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. So while you were righteously angry, I was angry too. I did not want that prayer in our country to be blasted through our parliament buildings, through anywhere else, because my God is the true God. But I also know that my God is the true God, and he has the power to overcome that because he is greater than. I thought about what God would be thinking. Would he be going, I'm really angry about this Muslim prayer, or was he still reeling that 51 of his blessed children had just died and another 50 were lying in hospital? What was his reaction? Was his reaction to be, yeah, go out there and scream and yell and shout and threaten people and call to war? No. He didn't ask us to do that. In fact, a beautiful story from Pastor Robin. She went into Parliament that day, the day that the prayer was, and she went in there to pray with some people. And while they were testing the loudspeakers in Parliament, what should come out but the old rugged cross? What was the other one? Shout to the Lord. All the earth, let us see power and majesty. Praise to our King. And Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Those songs played and the people couldn't turn it off. They were testing their loudspeakers for the Muslim prayer. But it's okay. God had flooded that place with his word already. It was already done. It was already done. I understand the righteous anger. I get it. It's what we do with it. God hasn't asked us to shout and threaten people. What he's asked us to do is to pray and to love and to praise. And he put his praise in Parliament that day. Awesome. And then a week after that, we had the two-week memorial service down in Christchurch in Hagley Park. And again, there was a very gracious man spoke from the Muslim community. I don't know if you saw that. Very gracious man. And he kept inserting parts of his prayer. Well, I had to watch that for work, and I was sitting there, and we were all in a room, and everybody was doing what they had to do. But I just, the whole time, was just praying under my breath, just praying, 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 praying. And I know that you all were praying, 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 praying too, and that's what God wanted. And we were praying that he would touch people's hearts, not that this falsehood would touch people's hearts. That's what he's asked us to do. And do you know what? Matthew 18:19 tells us that on that day, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. If you think that Muslim prayer is going to put a foothold in this country for the devil, then your faith isn't there. You need to just, can I encourage you, be faithful and be true, because that's not what God wants. And if we're praying together against it, stand firm. And if you don't believe me, 1 John 5:14-15. We are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us, when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Could we ask for anything more in this country than people to know the true love of God and not the falsehood of the devil? That's what we need to know, right? And that's what we need our people to know. At the end of that memorial service, the Prime Minister had asked for a particular song to be sung. And Rod's nephew, Te Karihana, or Teeks as he's known, got up with Holly Smith and they sung, How Great Thou Art. And that's what finished that. The songs in Parliament started it a week prior to, and that song, How Great Thou Art, Fakari Amai, finished it. And do you know what? Every time they replayed that service on the news, what they finished it with was How Great Thou Art. I just want to read you all know the song. I don't know if many of you know the second verse. And when I think of God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died for me. So at the end of all that, Jesus, God, gave us a song of his death, his sacrifice, salvation. It was a song of praise. And I just want you to take heart from that. Take heart. Let the anger diminish and just be grateful that our God is greater than. So I'm going to throw up the Ephesians 6:12. If you've got a notepad, write down Ephesians 6:10-18, because afterwards have a little read of that. This is what I need to, what I really want to get across. For we are fighting, not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Not our brothers and sisters from whatever creed, race, religion. We're not fighting against them. We're fighting against the devil, okay? Him and his cohort, that's who we're fighting against. The mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's who we're fighting against, folks. We don't need to fight against each other. If we want to ambush the devil, get stuck into him with praise. That's what those songs said this morning. Praise him in the darkness. Let the light shine through from our praise. Let the heavens do the roaring. We don't need to roar and scream at each other. We don't need to threaten people and call them out for all the bad things they do. We don't need to do that. We're asked to love. We're asked to pray. We're asked to declare God's word. But to do it with love, yeah? That's what we're asked to do. 2 Chronicles 20. I'm not going to read, nothing's going to come up on screen, but if you get a chance, have a little read of 2 Chronicles 20. Good Old Testament stuff. Back there, old King Jehoshaphat had a huge army heading towards him. There were Ammonites and Moabites and Meunites and probably a few Fortnites as well, I don't know. There were all these mites and knights heading towards him, like a huge army. And the people were afraid, and Jehoshaphat called out to God, and he reminded him, God, you told us that this land was for us, and I believe that, and I trust that you are going to see us through this. Jehoshaphat called all the people together, and he said, we will call out to you, and you will hear us. He declared God's word back to him, because God is not a man to lie. So the Lord then says in verse 16, well, don't be afraid. Don't lose hope because of this huge army. The battle isn't yours. It's mine. God knows who's behind these things. It's the devil. You won't even have to fight. Take your stuff, go and face them. So they did. Packed up all their stuff, women and children included, took all their stuff, went to meet them on the battleground. Huge army coming of the Moabites, Meunites, whatever, Ammonites, Fortnites, those people all coming. They have another skirmish on the way. They kill everyone, and then they kill themselves. So the people of Jehoshaphat's army go out, and all they see is dead bodies. They didn't have to raise a finger. God had done it, but they'd done it to themselves. That's the devil turning on himself right there. That's the devil turning on himself. He can't make sense of what God's going to do. So just remember, we're fighting principalities, not flesh, not man and woman. We're called to love each other. Love with all the love that we give God. If you're not loving your neighbour, you're maybe not loving God as well as you should. And I can tell you, after reading some of the emails I've read this week, there wasn't a whole lot of love. Sometimes there was not love at all. But because I do have the love of God, I stopped myself and I prayed for forgiveness and I prayed to bless those who were maybe making my life a little bit difficult. And I think as Christians, that's all we're called to do, because people will rub us the wrong way. That's okay. That's all right. Can I just throw up there Ephesians 6? No? Yes? No. No, don't worry, I haven't got it. It's the after the Bible talks about the fight against principalities, God tells us to put on the full armor of God. Can y'all remember what's in that? We've got the helmet of salvation. We've got the belt of truth. That's right. We've got the shoes of peace, the gospel of the peace. We put on our breastplate of righteousness. You guys all been to Sunday school. Good job. We pick up the shield of faith. We pick up the sword of the Spirit, God's word. Not a steel iota in it. Nothing that will kill flesh. You go out to battle. He's sending you out to battle every day. He tells you to put that on. He sends you out there with what? His word. And his word is not sent to kill. His word is except the enemy. His word is set to free people. Okay? That's what he picks up. Notice no tongue in the armor of God. You know why? Because the tongue just does its own thing, man. It does its own thing. It'll either say something really nasty or you've got a really good answer to the 5-minute quiz, but it doesn't come out. That's the tongue. Doesn't even let you play the 5-minute quiz and give the right answer. Hate when that happens. Because the tongue can cause offence to God and bring him into disrepute. As Christians, we don't need to apply the same tactics that the devil does. We don't need to play his game. What have I heard in this church more than just about any other verse? Romans 12:2. Can anyone recite it? Do not be conformed. Margaret's got it. By the ways of this world, but be transformed. Play the game differently. The devil, he lies, he shames, he accuses, he threatens, he shouts and he roars. What does the Bible say he does? He's a lion who roars around looking for his prey. Well, quite frankly, he doesn't even get that right. Because If you're a lion and you're on the veld or in the jungle and you're walking, roaring around the jungle, oi, gazelle, I'm going to eat you. You know, if he's roaring and yelling and screaming, the only ones he's going to catch are the deaf ones, the blind ones, the weak ones, or those too busy taking selfies and being outraged. The outraged gazelle. Can't believe you said that. Did you hear what they said? I know. It's just the way they wrote it, all in caps. Not a smart lion. A lion who hunts and kills and feeds his family or her family is quiet. Very quiet. Creeps up. I won't tell you what happens next because there's children in the house. So we will win. I heard the song this morning, we're going to win because God has already won. All right? Take his tactics into battle. What are his tactics? His word is to set people free. Gospel of peace, set people free. Be strong in your salvation. Know his truth. You are made righteous from him. Not for any good deed you've done, but because of him. Don't align yourself, whether they're Christian people or not, with those people who would do otherwise. Those people who would threaten and shout at others, who would draw others down, who would see other people condemned because of their own beliefs. Don't join in when you hear people doing that. We don't belittle other people. It's not what we do. Can I throw up Matthew 7, 1 to 5, please? Told you, washing machine, eh? Do not judge others and you will not be judged. This is Jesus talking. This is not me. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Oh, so when you're condemning someone for something they're doing in their lifetime, just stop and think about the things that you did, probably even between getting up and having breakfast. You probably thought something pretty nasty or tripped over. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. The next part, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? I love that. How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, and you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. That's right, Jasenga. That's right, just right there. Because you know what? I can't accuse somebody of not living a right lifestyle when every day I'm having to ask for forgiveness for dumb stuff I do. Yeah? My salvation is through the grace of God and not by deed and not by anything that I can do. Colossians 4, 5 to 6. This is how we do it. Use your heads as you live and work as you live and work amongst outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not to put them down and not to cut them out. I loved Matt's message the other week about bro-evangelism, because you've got to come alongside people because they want to see who you are. What have we got to offer that's any better than anyone else? After what I saw in Christchurch from somebody who claimed to be a Christian, and then some of the responses of some of our Christian brothers and sisters post that, you know what? Maybe that's why people are looking elsewhere. And that's sad, because that's not God's will. That's not what God's asked us to do. Yeah? So we have to earn the right by living graciously. And it's hard. It's really hard. Nobody said it's easy. And Jesus said we'll be persecuted just because we believe in him. We are held to a really high standard as Christians because we hold God as our standard bearer. Yeah? So we're being judged on, God's being judged on what we do, and we're being judged on who we say God is. So if you muck up, feel free to tell people, I mucked up. I'm really sorry I said that. You know, I don't recommend if you've thought something really horrible about someone that you go up and say, really sorry I thought that about you. I don't recommend that as a course of action. Don't do that. Think before you speak. Because you know what? Nobody has ever said, berate and belittle people into the kingdom. Never in here does it say berate and belittle people so that they must feel that they need to come to God. Don't see that anywhere in here. If anyone can find it, come back to me. I'll give you a bit of an example. Matt, if I walked into the gym, having put on a sizable amount of weight since I stopped working in a gym, and I said to you, I need to lose weight, and you said to me, yeah, you're really fat, you're going to die, quite frankly. I don't give you much more than 12 months. You're going to have to change your ways. Everything you do needs to change, and it needs to happen now, immediately. What are the chances of me staying at your gym? Yeah. What are the chances of me kicking you in the shins and running fast? Yeah. Pretty high. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to tell someone, don't go to that place. Those people suck. This is what they said. Next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to do exactly what Matt's told me not to do. I'm going straight down to the cafe. I am ordering the biggest piece of cake. Don't be miserable with the cake. I want the big piece. No, not the little one, the one that's left. Yogurt. Give me the cream. Lashings of the cream. Go around the back and get it myself. Lashings of cream. Get me a pot of chips while you're at it. Because that's what I'm going to do. Because I've been driven to that by Matt. Matt's a wonderful personal trainer. If I could just do a pump for his business. So don't fear. You don't need to judge. I've missed a cue here. I'm supposed to tell people who are getting baptized that they need to get up and go and get changed now. Sorry, folks. Missed the cue. Sorry. I can sing. I'll just have my audition now. So don't fear, folks. A lot of the reactions that we have are from fear. Don't judge. Instead, do what God's asked us to do. Pray. Declare his word. Declare his word in love. You don't have to shout at people declaring his word. As Pastor Robin said, walk around your workplace saying, you know, I declare this place for God. I walk into my place. We watched a video Lisa showed us about the ecclesia. Is that not how one pronounces it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, when we watched this video, there was a translation issue, so there were some translations on the bottom that did not come out the way the man was speaking. It did not. Anyway, and he said to go in and declare that I am the ecclesia, which is a group of God's people, and I am one because I am with God, so there's two of us going through. I am here to close the gates of Hades and to open the gates to the kingdom of heaven. I do that when I go into work. Nobody knows I'm doing it. If anybody's listening from work, I do that. That's what I do. So we're told to praise God. We're told to declare his name and to put the love of God and the love of others above all. Think about how you're doing that. Yeah? Don't align yourself with people who would threaten, who would belittle, who would berate, who would not do as God would do. Because 2 Peter 3:8-9, this is what I believe. This is about the coming days, the end of. Do not forget this one thing, that for the Lord, one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. Our life is short. We make a big impact in our short amount of time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. That's his promise for coming back. But it's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to point out, willing, his will, is that none should perish. Jesus told us to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If God is willing that none shall perish, chances are, none shall perish. I don't know the rules around that. His will is that none shall perish. The devil's going to perish, we know that. I'm just reading it as it is. His will is that none shall perish. Yeah. So who are we to tell people they're heading off to hell when we've got a log in our own eye? Yeah? Just love. That's all we're asked to do. Yeah. And I'm going to continue to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because I don't want anyone to perish either. I'm just going to leave you with Isaiah 46:9. It's not up there. This is God speaking. Remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Don't forget what God has done in the past. He smashed the devil. He continues to smash the devil. The roaring we want to hear is the roaring from heaven, not us bellowing. We're asked to praise, to pray, to sing joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Love that you played that song, James. That's incredible. That's all we're asked to do. And from, if you're in God, there should be no fear, because there's no fear in God. And that's about all I have to say about that. I feel a little bit like Forrest Gump. So I'm sorry if that was a washing machine for some. Apologies. And I just want to, I know we got our baptisms coming up, and that new wine song sort of applies to you guys too, because coming out of the waters, it's like a beautiful new butterfly, you know. It's so cleansing. It's the cleansing waters, and it's a whole new life ahead. Do you remember that story, The Bug's Life? Gustav, the caterpillar, and he turns into a beautiful butterfly. And Peter and the rest of you are all going to turn into beautiful butterflies. I can't say there'll be a physical transformation, but of a butterfly. I don't know. There might be. Anyway, I'll pass it over to Pastor Robin. I guess, Pastor Robin, you'll lead a prayer at the end, so I won't. I can do a prayer? Okay. All right, let's do that. All right. Okay. Father God, thank you for bringing your word here today. Thank you for the honour of allowing us to hear what you have to say. Father, I pray that we each go out here full of your love, full of praise for you, full of your joy, and that when things get rough, that we draw on you, Lord, and not on fear and anger. You've told us 365 times in the Bible, one for every day, fear not. And I pray that we grasp hold of that, and every time the devil tricks us, that we go, no, not having that, and that we come back to you immediately. Father, I pray that you would touch everybody here today as they leave this place. And I pray that anyone who doesn't know you're as far from you, Lord, will make themselves known so that we can pray for them. And I pray that there's special blessing on those who are going to be baptized today. The new and fresh and amazing new life ahead of them is incredible. Just as you were baptized, Jesus, and your ministry started from there, after being baptized in the waters and the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this place, what you're doing in this country, and that you are greater than. Thank you, Lord. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thanks, folks.